Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule today to join me on the Thursday edition of my program. Well, the last two programs, we have spent an in-depth teaching series on a particular verse of Scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 2, that on the surface seems to restrict and forbid women leadership, teaching, and pastoring in God's church. But as we looked carefully at the content and the context, we discovered that there is another substantial way of looking at this verse. And we concluded after our study that Paul is certainly not guilty of being a misogynist, a woman hater, that he was very, very supportive of women leadership in the churches. We have come a long way in our study from my book, Broken Yet Beautiful, and now we're down to the final couple of programs, but these last two programs are vital for understanding God's call to women teaching, leading in his church. Today we embark on another significant portion and text of Scripture about biblical submission. What does the Bible teach and mean when it calls women to submit to their husbands? And what does the Bible teach and mean when it says that men are the head of their wives, that the husband is the head of the wife? I cannot begin to tell you how these particular scriptures have been used in a most abusive way against women. And it comes to mind, at the beginning of our study, I reported on Paige Patterson, the head of the Southern Baptist Theological Department, who counseled women who were being abused by their spouses to submit to them nonetheless, that somehow God was going to work this situation out. And I talked at length about his being expelled from teaching and leadership in the Southern Baptist Convention because he did not report a rape case to the police. So these particular teachings of Scripture have been used in a most abusive way. And what I would like to do this morning, because time is of the essence, is to jump right in to our teaching. I'm reading from my book toward the end, chapter 2, Submission and Headship in Context. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 25, and I want to read to you from the CEB version, the Contemporary English Bible version of this verse. Don't get drunk with wine, which produces depravity. Instead, be filled with the Spirit in the following ways. Speak to each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music to the Lord in your hearts. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submit to each other out of respect for Christ. For example, wives should submit to their husbands as if to the Lord. A husband is the head of his wife, like Christ is the head of the church, that is, the Savior of the body. So wives, submit to their husbands in everything, like the church submits to Christ. As for husbands, love your wife just like Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 25 in the Contemporary English Bible Version. Now, let's unpack this whole concept culturally and biblically about submission. Submission is a term that has been greatly misused by the church, resulting in control and abuse against women. It has been manipulated out of context to elevate one person above or over the another, wrongly putting a woman in inferior subjugation to her husband. It's very important from the very outset to give a biblical definition of the word submission. That would be logical. Submission, by the way, and this is going to shock most of you, submission does not mean obey. The Greek word for obey is hupakeo, meaning listen or hearken to. In contrast, the Greek word for submission is hupostasso, meaning to get under, lift up, or put in order. Now, that's very important to contrast the two meanings of this word from the Greek. It is very enlightening to discover the German translation of the word submission refers to the sharing of tasks, to support. A perfect way to sum up what biblical submission means in context is, quote, the Christian grace of voluntarily yielding one's preferences to another. Paul points out in verse 21 of Ephesians 5, submit to each other out of respect for Christ. That is, support each other. Voluntarily yield your preferences to one another. This verse very clearly then defines and describes submission as volitional, submitting to each other in order to reflect the character of Christ. That's a whole different rendering of what submission is from the contrast of yielding voluntarily to obeying. When Paul used this hot-button word, submission, he was giving Christians a way of coping with a culture that was hostile to Christ. So again, cultural context. In the ancient world, women did not have an abundance of rights, as we've seen in our study. They were not considered equal to men. When Paul commands husbands and wives to submit to each other, he was teaching a new and revolutionary concept. This concept was contrary to the household codes of Paul's day in both Rome and Greece. Wives in the ancient culture were little more than possessions of the husband. Slaves had no rights except what their masters gave to them. Therefore, when Paul commands in this Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives just like Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, verse 25, he was giving a command that went completely contrary to the accepted norm of the day. In the ancient household codes, the husband acted as the Lord and had the final word in everything. For Paul to tell the husband, here in Ephesians chapter 5, to love his wife was a revolutionary new idea. This was a very patriarchal society, and the concept of partners in marriage, voluntarily submitting to one another was absolutely shocking. So Ephesians 5 is a speaking out against the cultural house codes of the day. It's talking about voluntary partnership submission to one another. When interpreting Paul from a true biblical context, then, submission is not something the wife does to her husband in a subordinate position. This is important, but rather submission is embraced voluntarily rather than forced. Very important distinction. Submission, therefore, is done out of love for Christ and each other. It's a relationship concept. So therefore, marriage, when viewed biblically, is a partnership. Women are not to be treated like a doormat. It is not a matter of who is in charge. Submission is a metaphor for mutual love and devotion. The relationship between spouses is an echo of the relationship between Christ and the church. Therefore, submission is an act of sacrificial love between two partners. This would have gone totally contrary to the household codes in Paul's day. So, wrapping up here in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5 speaks of being filled with the Spirit. If the marriage partners, the man and the wife, are both filled with the Spirit, then they will be subject to each other, and they will be clothed in humility. There is mutual respect for one another. True submission has nothing to do with the giving up of one's rights, in other words, one above the other. Referring back to the Greek word hupostasso, submission in context means, quote, to support, uphold, cooperate, and giving in. Again, this is so important to understand. This meaning paints a beautiful picture of husband and wives supporting one another in the spirit of love and unity. It's a cooperation. It's a voluntary submission. Christ is the real, if you will, spiritual head with whom all authority rests. So as the marriage partners submit to one another, that is pleasing to the spiritual head, Christ, who is that authority figure over the marriage as he is over the church. But remember the idea of sacrificial love. Christ gave himself sacrificially for the church. And so what this is saying is it's really correcting so many misunderstandings and stereotypes about marriage. Marriage has never been meant to be a power struggle with the idea of one person being in charge. If there is one person, it's Christ, the head of the marriage. Instead, the male and the female are meant to exist in a covenant commitment to each other, in which the two become one through mutual love, support, and respect. The idea of one flesh, two people. This gets back to the Garden of Eden and God's idea of marriage. So at the heart of submission is the deliberate surrender of power. It's not a power struggle. That is so important to understand. We've seen pictures of that. I have on my Facebook page introducing this topic today. You'll see this power struggle between a husband and wife pulling on a rope. But that's the way submission has been taught. And if we really want to look at it in context, there really isn't a power struggle. It's a mutual giving and voluntary service to one another. The deliberate surrender of power. Our motives for such submission to one another, what is it? According to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, our motives for this submission is out of reverence for Christ. How do we see that in the life of Christ? The prime example is this, is Jesus in the incarnation, when he voluntarily relinquished his power in becoming one of us and died in our place. Remember, the God of the universe stepped down off of his throne. He laid aside his privileges and his rights to become one of us and die in our place. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. And so what do we do in response to what Jesus has done in the incarnation? We imitate him by letting go of power, not giving up what is something belongs to us by nature. We set aside our rights and privileges of power and exercise humility in our relationships. The prime example of marriage is the humility of Christ. This giving up of rights and voluntarily submitting, coming into agreement with each other. Now you see that it's not the one dominant figure over the other as we've been taught to believe. Now, in the ancient patriarchal society, the image of the husband was the one of being in control and in charge. This was the Greek or the Roman version of a marriage. But here in Ephesians chapter 5 that we've been studying this morning, Paul challenges that false concept with the truth of God's word. He elevates the wife and charges the husband to love her sacrificially. Well, it's a radical new concept for that day. Unfortunately, though, the traditional understanding of submission being taught today is more reflective of the ancient culture rather than what the Bible teaches. And so, in response to this teaching this morning, the church needs to return to the biblical model of submission, which is one of voluntarily yielding to one another in respect and devotion. I hope, as we've looked very briefly at submission this morning, that you're beginning to get the idea of what the Bible really honestly is teaching. Now, we have finished this brief teaching. Next week, I want to talk to you in depth about the idea of headship, that the husband is the head of the wife. That seems very clear when you use the term head, that it means that he is an authority over her. But as we've seen, words can have radically different meanings in context. So I hope this has been helpful to you. Right now, I want to take a brief song break from the Newsboys. I don't know if you've seen the movie God's Not Dead 2. It's the sequel to God's Not Dead. It was a fabulous movie. And this is the title tune from that movie called Guilty.
Become breaking a rule to say your name out loud in school, when your name's the only one that sets us free. When did it become incorrect to speak the truth about life and death, when your life gave us all eternity? Even if it gets me convicted, I'll be on my knees with my hands lifted. If serving you's against the law, man, if living out my faith in you is banned, then I'll stand right before the jury, saying I believe it's out of line if I'm just
out, my faith in you is bent. Then I'll stand right before the jury, saying I believe it's out of line.
The powerful worship music of the Newsboys in a song called Guilty. This morning on the program, I've been going carefully through Ephesians chapter 5, which is Paul correcting a cultural mandate in the Greco-Roman world through something called the household codes. And this religious structure, this patriarchal structure, had at the heart the obedience of the wife to the husband. The husband was the Lord. And so when Paul would say, I'm recapping now, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, those reading it from a non-Christian viewpoint in the household and the structure of that day would be shocked that the husband would be commanded to love the wife. But that's what the Bible, that's what Scripture is saying in correcting this patriarchal hierarchy. And we've seen in Ephesians 5 that Jesus is the Lord of the marriage, not the husband. And it was a temptation in that culture. It would be customary to call on wives, children, and slaves to submit in various ways. But we've seen in the structure of Scripture that this was a mutual, voluntary submission out of respect. And so the marriage covenant was seen in a partnership context as opposed to the day and the culture that would view the marriage contract as the husband as the Lord of the wife. Most ancient writers would expect wives to obey their husbands, desiring in them a quiet and meek demeanor. Some marriage contracts even stated a requirement for absolute obedience. And of course, this requirement made sense, especially to all the Greek thinkers. They would never conceive of wives as equals. Now, age differences would contribute to this disparity. Husbands in that culture were normally older than their wives. But what Paul is doing here, he is defining submission in a respectful way, striking out against the cultural context of that day. And it's very clear. You will see that Paul does not describe duties attached to this submission. And the ancient reader could therefore have been tempted to read a wife's submission as meaning all that it could mean in that culture. But unfortunately, Christian interpreters today have sided so much with the culture of Paul's day that Paul was correcting. Christian interpreters today are making the husband the Lord of the marriage instead of Christ. And that fits so well in with the culture of Paul's day that Paul was correcting. And so I hope that looking carefully here, and there are other scriptures we could go to, but I wanted to stay with Ephesians. Looking carefully here at Ephesians 5, we have seen what Paul was correcting and what Paul was investing in the Christian marriage, one of partnership, one of voluntary submission. And so this marriage is based on Jesus as the head, the spiritual head. Our marriage is to be in obedience to him as Lord, not the wife in obedience to the husband as Lord. He would be taking the place of Christ according to the cultural codes of that day. So this morning we have looked very carefully at Ephesians 5. And there may be some of you, maybe wives, that are saying, I really never saw it that way before. How can this be true? My church has taught me blah, 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 on and on. It could go. But here is the choice we have to make. And sometimes it's a difficult one. We have to either let the teaching of Scripture be our final authority. And if it's not, then it becomes tradition as our final authority, or culture as our final authority. I don't know about you, but I want Scripture to define my life as a Christian, my marriage to my wife. I don't want the cultural norm and the tradition of the church to define what submission is. If you're struggling with this content and you need some more help, I highly recommend that you get my book, Broken Yet Beautiful, Rising Up from Their Ashes. It's either in paperback or Kindle, whatever you prefer. It's on Amazon. My purpose is not to sell you books. It is to invest in your life, to help you with your struggle, to help you with good teaching that will guide you in a biblical way. And so I say that in recommending my book because not everyone has the time to listen to podcasts. But this book is always at your convenience, on the shelf or on your smartphone. You can read it from cover to cover, and I hope and pray that it will help you. I know this subject is a difficult one. It's a struggle today in most evangelical churches, but I wrote it with the idea of helping and encouraging and empowering women, which is what I do on the broadcast when I speak to the suffering of women in the Middle East. And so I want to thank you this morning. Next week, next Monday, we're going to finish our journey with talking in concept about the idea of the husband being the head of his wife. God bless you. I hope to hear from you on the next Cross in the Desert.